I mentioned, the focus of our message this evening is on Psalm 51, verse 7, and reads, "Remove my sin with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow." There are just some stains that are tough to get out. They leave an indelible mark on skin and clothes and furniture and floors. I mean, we're talking about what, like ink and mud and grease and blood. If you've ever worked with your hands, spilled a glass, left a pen in your pocket in the wash, or bonked your nose, you know what I'm talking about. In fact, just about all of us have at least one stain story in family lore that everybody talks about. Those are the stains that leave an indelible mark in the human mind and on the human psyche. But of course, there are stains that leave not just an indelible mark on the individual, but on society. Do you know that there are top 10 lists of historic stains, infamous stains in history? Polite company will keep me from referencing a few, but there's the blot of ink that was dripped from the nervous hand of Marie Antoinette as she signed her marriage license to Louis XVI, blotting out most of her name. And of course, his bloody clothes that get waved, like Mark Antony, as he waved the bloody robe of Caesar in front of the crowds, or even as his treacherous brothers, Joseph's multicolored robe as they held it in front of Jacob, claiming that Joseph had been killed by a wild animal. There are inexplicable stains that have baffled generations, like the Shroud of Turin with its ghostly reverse image of what looks to be a Christ-like image reflected on the cloth. Of course, there are more common stains happen because of some innocent accident, circumstances beyond control, or maybe lack of control at an inopportune moment. Even here at church, you know, holding a cup of coffee and somebody bumps your elbow. Now there's a stain on the carpet. Or maybe the individual communion cup is a little bit too snug in the tray, and as you're trying to get it out, it smashes and wine goes flying. Or, as Pastor Cordes will attest to, sometimes a cough hits at just the wrong or right moment, depending on how you look at it. And purple drops of wine all over a very clean white robe. Yeah, those stains can happen at a moment's notice. In fact, there's a bit by Jerry Seinfeld that talks about what's with all these getting out stain commercials for the laundry. They always talk about getting blood out of the clothes. Like, if your biggest problem is getting blood stains out of clothes, you probably have a bigger problem than just getting blood out of clothes. But for the most part, such stains are easy to remove, or at least to fade to the point where a casual glance won't see an ever-fixed mark, as Shakespeare called it in his sonnet number 116. You put the right treatment on it, the right elbow grease, the right, again, Shakespeare remover to remove, and it's gone, or at least faded to the point where the casual observance won't see it. But when you're talking about the indelible stain of sin, we know that there is only one remover that can remove, and it is the holy, precious blood of Christ shed for sinners on the cross. By faith in Jesus, the Spirit graciously forms faith in our hearts, and that connection of faith means that all that is coming to us is the forgiveness of sins, the new life that is in Him, and the eternal life that is to come. From beginning to end, we need to rely completely on God's grace. Interestingly, the stain of Jesus' blood getting out the stain of our sin. But we see it in Psalm 51 again and again. In fact, there's a reason that King David was inspired to do so, because it's a truth that bears repeating, not just in Psalm 51, but throughout the pages of Scripture. We need to be reminded again and again of our lost, sinful condition. Because if we don't understand who we are by nature, we have no reason to appreciate, no reason to receive our Savior Jesus, who we so desperately need to remove that stain of sin. It's kind of interesting, in Bible information classes and catechism classes over the years, it's not an unusual thing to start, you know, you start working through the Ten Commandments and talking about this indelible mark of sin that is on us, and you look at those commandments, inevitably there will be somebody that will be like, well, you know, Pastor, I don't really have a problem with that one. Or, I do pretty well at that commandment. To which Pastor usually knowingly, let's be honest, a little sadly, replies, well, hold on, let's take a look at what God's word truly has to say and how broad and deep that stain of sin truly is. And as you start to work through it and you see what each of those commandments really entails, that it's not just about action or lack of action, but that it's also about the attitude of the heart. That it's about words. It's about the mind. Yeah. All of a sudden we realize quite intently how deep that stain of sin truly is. And that's why, intentionally, though not slavishly in terms of that it has to absolutely be there, but in most of our services, we include a confession and absolution of sins to help us remember again and again our need for that Savior. Not only is this healthy for the soul, but Scripture encourages us to do this as a preparation of our hearts to receive Christ's very body and blood in with and under that bread and the wine. Jesus, giving his very self for your sins and mine. One of the tools to help with that is Dr. Martin Luther's Christian Questions. In the blue hymnal there, you can find it on page 295. But here at New Life, we also very often include kind of an expanded version of one of those questions that talks about, you know, we hold ourselves up to the Ten Commandments, but sometimes we need to kind of maybe spend a little bit more time in there because it's too easy to sort of gloss over them. I'm just going to read through it. What should I do if I'm not aware of my sins or am not troubled by them? I should examine myself according to the Ten Commandments and ask, how well have I carried out my responsibilities as a husband or wife or single person, as a parent or child, an employer or employee, a teacher or a student? Have I loved God with all my heart, gladly heard his word, and patiently endured affliction? Have I been disobedient, proud, or unforgiving? Have I been selfish, lazy, envious, quarrelsome? Have I lied or deceived, taken something not mine, or given anyone a bad name? Have I abused my body or permitted indecent thoughts to linger in my mind? Have I failed to do what is right and good? I dare say there isn't a single one of us can get through that paragraph in the confidence of complete innocence. Yes, O Lord, remove my sin with hyssop. Wash me. Hyssop is a shrub that's grown in the Middle East. Its oil has antiseptic properties, which is probably why it's used here in this illustration. If you know anything about infection, you know that once infection sets in, you have to clean it out properly. Otherwise, the infection can grow and it can fester, and you know that it can lead to things like gangrene, where maybe part of the body has to be cut off in order to save the rest of it, or if untreated, it can take someone's life. It's a pretty obvious comparison, illustration for our sin. It causes us to rot spiritually from the inside out. If it's not treated, it causes us to fall away from the Lord, brings us to spiritual death. God treats us with the hyssop of his gospel message. He calls out sin through his law for what it is, and he heals us through the gospel. By the message of forgiveness in Christ Jesus, he treats that deadly infection born in us. He cleanses us in Christ. He washes us. He removes the stain and makes us the whitest that King David knew, which was the whiter than snow. And I thank the Lord that we have this opportunity year in and year out to travel the steps of the passion history of our Savior. And the preacher remembers to print it up. It's a blessing to hear again the suffering our Lord Jesus endured in our place, burdened by our sin, yours and mine. It's actually a privilege for us to see him, as gruesome as it is and as hard as it may be to take, as hard it is on our human sensibilities, beaten, scourged, spit on, mocked, nailed to a cross, forsaken by our Heavenly Father. My God, why have you forsaken me? It's for you and me. It is in that punishment that we find hope. It is in his suffering that we find salvation. In those wounds is found the grace of God, which we rely. So yeah, some stains are hard to get out, can be very difficult. And the spiritual stain of sin left to ourselves, we could never remove. But God removed our stain. Your stain and mine, removed it not just to fade away so that you don't actually notice it, but completely, so that sin will not follow us in the eternal life to come. This infection that we could not heal, God healed perfectly in Christ. This is God's truth on which you can rely. This is God's gift for which we offer our thanks. This is God's gracious invitation. That you too can pray with complete confidence, remove my sin with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. And you get to hear the answer today through the services of Holy Week next week. In fact, you can hear it each and every day in God's word, a word that stands into eternity. He says, it is finished. And it is, just as he said. Amen.